You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. So law enforcement, fire services, emergency medical services, first responders are on the front lines of the coronavirus outbreak. And across the country, there is an explosion of new cases every day, thousands being identified, which is expected to continue in the days ahead. We're looking at how rural emergency workers are preparing for this worsening pandemic. Are you a rural health provider? Do you feel ready? Do you work for a volunteer fire department? Have you responded to calls that were flagged as possible coronavirus cases? What precautions do you take? We're at 800-642-1234. Amanda Bates is Conference and Education Director for the Wisconsin EMS Association. She's been a paramedic firefighter in Wisconsin since 2014 and a firefighter since 2012. Amanda, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So you have been responding to some calls that were flagged as possible coronavirus infections. What extra precautions are you taking when you go on these calls?
Sure. When the patient has been identified by dispatch as being a possible travel exposure or COVID patient, we have to don full isolation before we make contact with the patient or any members of their home. So we're gowning up, we're masking up, we're double masking up, we're gloving up, booties and safety goggles.
And so that looks pretty foreign, maybe, to some a paramedic, how we usually see a paramedic. What does it feel like to do those things?
It's definitely foreign for us. We're normally, ready to jump and go. We prepare before we even exit the ambulance. Now we have to stop and we have to don the PPE. We have to look each other over and then we can proceed. It's also foreign to the patients as well. We look kind of scary coming in. It almost looks like a biohazard scene, something out of a movie, especially with kids. You know, they don't get to see our faces. It's a little disturbing for them. And we just tell them that we have to do this for protection, theirs and ours.
Are you worried about exposure to yourself? Do you know if you have been exposed?
We know that in the county that I work for, there has been positive COVID cases, but we don't know if those came through our area, if we were the transporting agency for them. It is a concern and it is a worry. I have a family. I have a 13-year-old daughter. I have friends. I have, a life and people that I see too. And one of the worst things I think that could happen is an exposure. And I then expose my work family and my home family. That to me and my patients, that's a big concern.
Walk us through what you do after a shift. How do you disrobe? How does that work?
It's a new process. So immediately after my shift, I am one washing my hands before I even take a shower. I'm going to the shower. I'm bagging up my uniform. I use one towel. I shower. I bag that towel. I bag both those items together in one bag. I go home. It's in my trunk compartment in my vehicle. When I get home, I actually put on a different set of clothes. I wear those clothes home. When I get home, I take those items out of my trunk. I put them in my garage. I'm spraying down my car with Lysol, and then I am basically disrobing in my garage, and my husband's handing me another set of clothes before I make a run for it.
We are talking about first responders and their work right now amid the coronavirus pandemic. Amanda Bates is a paramedic firefighter. She's telling us about what her life looks like right now. How is your agency responding to the pandemic? What do you think people should know? How do you feel about the state's response to contain the virus? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Amanda, I think of all the PPE equipment that your team is putting on each day when you need to or when you feel like you may need to. Are you running short on supplies?
We are. There is a one point where we were 3 weeks from running out of supplies for a normal call volume. We were lucky enough to receive a shipment of PPE from DHS earlier last week, I believe. DHS is periodically doing a scarce resource decision tree where agencies can fill out basically an application to receive masks, gowns, gloves of all sizes. And then DHS makes the ultimate decision who gets what and where it goes.
So with the supplies that you asked for, did you get what you asked for?
I don't think that we received everything that we asked for, but I understand their rationing of, you know, equipment and why they have to do it that way. I know that there's going to be multiple rounds. So
yeah. When you get the calls from dispatch, is dispatch doing additional triage on 911 calls, meaning that are they asking more questions to get a better handle on whether you are going into a possible COVID-19 situation?
They are. For the PSAP centers in the state of Wisconsin who use EMD, Emergency Medical Dispatch software, they follow a pandemic protocol and they read those questions from that. Now, you have services, or you have PSAP centers in Wisconsin who are not EMD certified, and they should have their own in-house questions that they're asking. And I think best practices would be for that communicating agency, that PSAP center, to work with their police department and with their fire department so that they are asking the most appropriate question to make that determination.
And when you say PSAP center, what do you mean by that?
So PSAP centers are public service access points.
Okay.
They're the county communication centers or the centers that are the 911 centers that are run through like sheriff's departments.
What are some of those questions? What may be asked to someone calling 911?
Is anyone in your house sick or experiencing flu-like symptoms? Have you been running a fever? Have you been any travel outside of the United States, or even now it's outside of Wisconsin?
How is your?
Have you tested positive for COVID-19? They're coming out and asking too if they've been tested and if they have been tested positive, if they're being treated for it.
How is your team? How are fellow paramedics holding up in this?
I am blessed to work for just an amazing service. Our chief is outstanding, and he is taking every precaution to keep us safe, to keep our patients safe, and to keep our family safe. I have the utmost faith and respect in my department and my crew. So I think we're going to be okay. I'm very optimistic about this. Also working for the Wisconsin EMS Association, we are hearing all sorts of stories from our members on their PPE and their staffing. I'm cautiously optimistic for some of them. Some in rural Wisconsin, you have a lot of providers that are older, the 50s, 60s. They work for volunteer agencies. They might be hurt the most with staffing and lack of PPE, and those are the services that I worry about.
Yeah, because it's older staffers, it's volunteers, and mm-hmm. when personal protective equipment is in short supply, that too is a risk. We're looking mm-hmm. at EMS readiness in our rural communities in the face of the global pandemic. Amanda Bates is our guide. She is with the Wisconsin EMS Association. She's a paramedic firefighter. Do you work for a volunteer fire department that has responded to calls that were flagged as possible coronavirus cases? What precautions did you take? Are you a volunteer firefighter yourself? Do you have enough staff with you? Do you have enough supplies? What do you need? Join in 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. You can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back in just a moment for more conversation with Amanda Bates right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Wisconsin's first responders and how they're preparing for coronavirus calls. On the national level, EMS associations are urging Congress to help fund response efforts and provide access to PPE that we've been talking about, personal protective equipment and testing. And the groups want COVID-19 response reimbursement. They want tax deduction for EMS personnel. They want direct funding for ambulance and medical equipment. So are you a volunteer paramedic? What supplies do you have? And how are you coping with the pandemic? What things do you need? Do you have enough people to respond to a serious outbreak? Join in 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We have Amanda Bates with us. She is a paramedic firefighter in Wisconsin, and she stays with us. Amanda, how important is it to practice social distancing for the safety of first responders who are entering an area?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I know it seems like a tall ask for people, you know, not to venture out and seek kind of the social groups that us as humans are wired for. Just stay at home. So we see those charts all the time. One person can infect five, then can infect 17, then can infect 200. That's a lot, especially when you're not showing signs or symptoms for 14 days. It can be scary. People can just be walking around with it, with a fever, a low-grade fever, or sneeze next to you. You touch something that their, you know, aerosolized particles have landed on, and now you're rubbing your eye or you're picking something out of your tooth, and you're exposed now. I mean, it's scary.
If people do have extra supplies on hand, extra masks or gowns right now, could they donate them to their local agencies?
Absolutely, and please do that. There's agencies who have already put out a call for help on social media platforms like Facebook. And the outpouring that their communities have provided have been just outstanding. I know one service in general received over like 15 cases of N95 masks and Painter coveralls for their crew, which, you know, they couldn't be more grateful for that. It's not the fact that they don't have the money to purchase them right now, which that may become an issue for some of these services. It's just that there is nothing to purchase. And we just can't have people being exposed.
Do you think it would be good to first contact your local hospital or first call your fire department? Well, where might you start?
Yeah, if definitely the hospital systems or your living care facilities. I know that they're a critical level. EMS services, any one of those, just give them a call and say, look, I got some of this stuff hanging around. It might be past expiration date. Or, you know, I'm looking, if you need it, I'm willing to drop it off, and you can do that. You can leave it outside the door. I know a lot of agencies aren't letting any public visitors in, but it doesn't mean that you can't, you know, leave a gift package at the door.
You have your pulse on the state, you know, with your role with the Wisconsin EMS Association. What concerns are you hearing from volunteer fire departments around the state?
It's staffing. So if there's two neighboring agencies, you have Service A and you have Service B, and if members of Service A get sick, they need cross-credentialing with Service B to help cover their staff. So right now you have agencies that are on borders, like on Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, who could use help, vice versa. I think at some point it might be a worthwhile conversation for having dual licensure in states and making it easier for providers to back up their neighboring agency. Just because it's across the street, it's still across state line, and they have a hard time staffing theirs just as we do in those rural areas.
Right, and certainly also if they have older volunteer firefighters, like you mentioned, in their 50s and 60s, that too is an age group that's at a higher risk for serious illness. Do you feel like rural areas could be more exposed because even though people are more far apart, there is also more difficulty to get to the hospitals and more difficulty to get access to a paramedic on, you know, for a 911 mm-hmm. call?
Yep. In rural communities, you see sicker patients. Also, it's just the hospital systems. They might not have an ICU bed, so then you have longer transport times of that patient to a critical hospital.
We're talking with Amanda Bates right now. She's the Conference and Education Director of the Wisconsin EMS Association. We're getting perspective on what her life looks like right now. Are you a volunteer firefighter or a volunteer firefighter paramedic? What are your calls like? How is your agency preparing? Do you have enough staff and supplies in your community? What are you looking for right now? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. In terms of credentialing, Amanda, are there specific credentials that have to be continuing education requirements that need to be addressed right now?
There are. So all EMS providers in the state of Wisconsin, they're licensed to practice in the state through DHS expires at the end of June. And I know that there was an ask for that expiration date to be extended to September 30th, just giving providers more time to seek out education. It's tough to find refresher courses right now for paramedics, AEMTs, and EMTs, and even EMRs in the state. And unfortunately, the go-to place has been the technical colleges, and we just can't have those classes right now. They offer phenomenal recertification courses, but we just can't get there. We can't congregate more than five. They can't host a class on site. So our access to getting the high-quality education that we want and that we seek out is not there right now.
Did you feel like your training prepared you for this moment?
My initial training was more patient-based. It wasn't pandemic-based. But my training with my department is outstanding. I'm very blessed to work with a progressive and an education-focused department where we train.
And keep doing those drills until they become almost second nature. So when you are called into that emergency, those skills kind of kick in?
Exactly. And too, right now with the donning and the doffing of PPE, those are skills that should be trained and refreshed on, just how to fit the N95 mask on your face. I mean, that's important too.
Do you feel like you have the bandwidth to be able to even take extra shifts right now in the face of, let's say, a really much more serious outbreak in your area?
If called, I will do that. Absolutely.
What are you needing at this moment right now?
I guess just for the public to follow the CDC guidelines and to do their best that they can to social isolate and to just be kind. I saw some videos of overcrowding in the ERs, you know, then your nurses are getting stressed out, and that trickles to the doctors, and that trickles, you know, back to the patients and to the EMS providers who are bringing in more patients to an already overflowed and overloaded system. So just be kind and have some patience. And I think this is an opportunity for people to come together, believe it or not, and find ways to work together, get through this together, because that's what it's going to take.
Do you have to move your shifts around? Are you able to see your family on a regular basis when they can expect you at home?
I am. I'm very blessed right now. The Wisconsin EMS Association, we have a exceptional leader at our organization as well. All of our staff members are working from home. So I do get to spend some time with my daughter, who is trying to be the typical teenager. And which is tough right now. That's another conversation. And then with the fire department, I'm scheduled for shifts throughout the month. And I'm also available to pick out shifts as needed if someone was to get sick or if they're being called in at their other department. Absolutely. We're a little family and we try to take care of ourselves.
How does this look like on the firefighting side? I mean, if there is a blaze and a building is on fire, how are you managing staying safe and all of the equipment, and also, you know, looking at how do you fight this fire?
So we do wear SCBAs, so you're protected. So you're on air when you're anywhere near a fire, whether that be a car fire, especially a garage fire or a house fire, even a garbage fire. So you have a respirator on your face, basically blocking those particles if there was to be something biohazardly burning. We do the same thing that we do every time. So I feel pretty confident on that side. It's just some unknowns, I guess, with the virus and the pathogen side that make you pause and make you sometimes second guess yourself. But I mean, I feel pretty good.
Well, Amanda, we're thinking of you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Amanda Bates, she is a paramedic firefighter and education director for the Wisconsin EMS Association. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll be joined by the head of the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. Are you a physician or a nurse in a rural community? What are you seeing, and how is your clinic or your hospital preparing for COVID-19 illnesses? Do you have enough beds? Are you thinking about converting some break rooms for additional beds? Where are you at with your planning? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll talk more right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.